It's wonderful to hear your voices as you're chatting with one another, offering to pay each other's electricity bill for the month of July. Wouldn't that be wonderful? This morning we have a wonderful opportunity. We are going to ordain Craig Cowley during this service. And so my sermon will actually be aimed as a sermon to you, but also a charge to Craig. So you may have an opportunity of eavesdropping a little bit as we look at God's Word. And I would like us to read the entire chapter of 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now in your pew Bible, that's located on page 1152. 1152. And if you're new to the Scriptures and you're here this morning with your own Bible, it is toward the back of your Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and watch your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Oh, Father in heaven, how can we proceed without your Holy Spirit? Open our hearts that we might see you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Craig, I have a simple two-point sermon for you this morning. Watch yourself and watch your doctrine, because we will watch your progress. You know, many times when I go to pastors' conferences, you hear pastors speaking about their congregations. They will lean over to the side over a cup of coffee and say, "Oh, I really can't wait for my congregation to come along in this area. And I can't wait for them to grow in this area. And oh, if they only gave more, we could do this or that." Do you know, after studying this passage, Craig, I've come to a scary realization, and that is our congregation does the same thing with us. Oh, we're hoping that our pastor will grow in his understanding of this doctrine. Oh, we're hoping. And you watch us, don't you? And you watch us progress. and you pray and you ask God, oh God, help that pastor. Help him to grow. Help him to understand the doctrines of grace, because by God's grace, he uses teaching elders and the foolishness of preaching to warm and change our hearts. So we have hopes for you, but Craig, they have hopes for us. They're going to watch us. They're going to watch us grow the way we watch our children grow. And they're going to see our mistakes. And they're going to treat us with grace the way we treat our children with grace. You know, we recently now have 5 drivers in our home. 2 cars and 3 bicycles. And we've trained the children how to drive. And you know, when they start driving, sometimes they're a little too, they're so pensive, they're so safe that they're not safe. You can only sit at a 4-way stop so long before the other drivers get a little confused. And sometimes they're a little aggressive. They roll through those stop signs. They want to live in Mexico where a red light doesn't mean stop. It only means slow down if you have to. And we watch our children progress, and we watch them grow. And you know, this passage says that the people of God, they watch their shepherds grow. And Craig, I'm trusting God that he'll continue to cause you to grow. It is his work in your life. But how does he do that? I would submit to you that God causes us to grow as we take heed to our life and we take heed to our doctrine, or another translation would say our teaching. And when you bring those two together, you have an explosion. Do you know what Paul's afraid of? He's concerned that the pastors, the shepherds, the elders of the church of God will become hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. He's concerned about that, and he should be. And he says 2 things to get young Timothy's attention. By the way, the definition of young is under 40. Turn your attention to verse 11. You're gathering hope, aren't you? Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. And that's that 40 age. And Craig, you're under 40. And so you need to celebrate that. But set an example. Set an example for the believers. Even though you're young, do you know how you can cut through the so-called liability of your youth? You can walk like a man of God. And you can do this in your speech, in your life, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. Do you know, a lot of people were concerned about a golfer named Tiger Woods. A few years ago, he broke on the pro tour. And they said, oh, he was great as an amateur, but wait until he gets under the pressure of the pro tour. He'll crumble. He's just a kid. And you know what? That young man stood tall. And that young man had the character and has the game. And people respect him and are already comparing him to the greatest golfer who's ever lived. I want you to know, Craig, though you're young, you can serve the Lord with your whole heart. You can serve Him with your speech, with your life. And so Paul brings us to this understanding of how we must look at ourselves. And he says, Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you, just like the body of elders who are going to lay their hands on you later in the service. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life. Craig, I would like to talk to you about watching your life. God has been so kind to give you a bride, and Lakina will help you watch your life. But I would submit to you that no one knows you the way you know you. I confess to you that it is easy to be godly at church and devilishly wicked in our homes, in our businesses, in our carpools, on our weekends. We must look at our lives with scrutiny. And with, as my mother used to say, with a fine-tooth comb. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 42, verse 5. This will give some of you who think you're crazy a little hope. Listen to the psalmist, Psalm 42, verse 5. He's talking to himself. He says, "Why are you downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, and I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." Do you see what the psalmist has done? He's been honest with himself. He said, "Why are you downcast? What's wrong with you today, my soul?" The mark of a believer is that they counsel themselves. They recognize their own heart and they identify it. This is very difficult for men to do. There are times people ask me, "How are you feeling?" And I tell them what I'm doing. How are you feeling today? "Well, I have 4 appointments and 2 meetings, and I need to run these errands, and I'm going to be late." I didn't ask you what you were doing. I asked you how you were feeling. "I don't know how I'm feeling." I think that's one of the reasons that God gives men wives, because wives can tell us how we're feeling. They can also tell us how we're doing. And they're very good at telling us what we're not doing. But we, particularly as men, Craig, we need to learn to self-counsel. We need to see ourselves. Now, I would submit to you there's 2 great dangers in this. One extreme is that you would be so morbidly introspective, you would become sullen and depressed. Just wallowing in your sin. A week ago, I was fishing, and my lure was hung in a tree, and I started to pull on the rod in order to loosen the lure, and the lure broke loose and came flying and embedded in my left shin all the way. It was a very good hook set. And I looked at Carter, and I said, "Carter, I just caught the biggest fish of my life." And I was tempted to go morose. I was tempted to just stare at that lure as the blood began running down my shin. But I just simply reached my hand into my back pocket and pulled out my handy needle-nose pliers. And just as I do for those wonderful fish that I release so that they can swim another day, I released myself. It is so easy to wallow in our sin because, you know, one of the reasons Paul says to Timothy, "Watch yourself," is because, brother, we have a tendency to want to preach to everyone else but ourselves. And that is very dangerous. That is the breeding ground of hypocritical liars. But if one error is to wallow, the other error would be to just glance over the top of our sins. Oh, we have a great Savior. He's a wonderful Savior, and He saved me. And here I am. Oh, I'm a poor, wretched sinner. Who isn't? Oh, Lord, forgive me, and let's go on and do His work. Do you see the two dangers there? And God gives us a third way, doesn't He? He calls us to look at ourselves. And as James says in chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, we must look into the law and we must look constantly, because if we don't, we will walk away and forget what we saw. Is that an amazing affliction that sinful Christians have? We can see ourselves in God's Word for a moment and be contrite and humble and tender, and then 5 minutes later, it's as if it never happened. I see why a number of you journal. It's almost as if you're saying, no, it really happened. I really did spend time with the Lord this morning, and this is what He taught me. I wish I were faithful in that. But He doesn't just stop with watching yourself. He says, watch your doctrine. Watch your teaching. Are we teaching the Word of God, or are we teaching tradition? Do our sermons come from the text, or do they come from a historical perspective? They must come from the text. They must come from the text. The Word of God is our only hope. But I will tell you, brother, Timothy had an extraordinary gift, but he fashioned it through ordinary means. Do not enter this pulpit without preparation. You can have a wonderful gift, but if we do not prepare, how lazy, how dishonoring is that to the Lord? I've read articles that Deion Sanders is one of the most gifted athletes ever to play in the National Football League. I have also read articles that say Deion Sanders is one of the hardest working athletes in the National Football League. Do you know, there are a lot of responsibilities as a shepherd. We have the privilege of visiting people in the hospital. We have the privilege of being with folks when their parents or siblings or children pass on to be with the Lord. We have administrative responsibilities, which in a church this size feel unending. But brother, God has given you a gift to preach His Word somehow, no matter what. Be prepared. Study His Word and teach His Word. It is our only hope. Some of the greatest fears I have for the church in this century is that the idea that people would come to church and they would hear something other than God's Word and it would be good for them. God's Word is our only hope. It is the power. It is the gospel. God's Word goes into people's hearts and it changes their heart. Changes them forever. That's why we have the Word of God. It's our only hope. We preach the Word of God, but do you know what, brother? We can't stop there. Because people can hear God's Word, they can understand God's Word, and yet if God has not change their hearts and quicken them. You could be in the presence of God's Word right now and not believe it. It can be faithfully expounded. And yet we come to the pulpit with such a dependence on God and on His Word to do His work. Do you know, brother, it's okay for people to hear you say, I've never done that before. It's okay to get into a situation with a member of the church and say, I've never done this before. But I come to you as your brother in Christ, equipped as much as I can be equipped, and I will sit by your side, and I will tell you of the matchless grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I remember one time I went to a doctor, and he scared me because he said, I've never seen this before. I had developed a new way of stopping ground balls. Rather than using a glove or a chest, you use your mouth. And I stopped a one-hop liner. And three of my teeth went south. They just pointed in, but they were still attached. So I went to the dentist, and he took one look at me, and he said, I've never seen that before. Thinking maybe, you know, I could find another dentist. But he said, let me take an x-ray. I have an idea. And he took an x-ray and he came back and he didn't say a word to me. He just came in and he said, open up. Let me take another look. And he slipped that finger behind those three teeth and he pulled them right back into place. And he said, come see me in a week. Let's see what happens. Avoid eating apples. And so I came back and sure enough, here they are. They're here. Do you know that God in His kindness and in His limitless, boundless grace even uses teaching elders who sometimes don't know exactly what they're supposed to do? He works in spite of us. Praise God that He works in spite of us. He is a great God. He will not be thwarted. I know I need to close because we have other things to do in this sermon. And so, Craig, I want to give you some admonitions. And then I want to close with a little illustration. Why must you watch yourself and your doctrine carefully? Craig, you have heaven to gain or to lose for yourself. For you, brother. For you. It is possible to walk with God for a long time and then to walk away from Him. You have heaven to gain or lose. When you walk, your sinful inclinations are the same as everyone else's. I believe that you will experience greater temptation and exposure to sin. When lightning strikes, it strikes the highest object. And brother, in the Church of Christ, the teaching elders, the pastors are lightning rods, and you will be struck. It is not if, it's when. And it's how many times. Brother, you will be struck with great temptation and great responsibility. And you must find the grace of the Lord within yourself to walk with Him and Him alone. You will see yourself as a hypocritical liar. In fact, I would submit to you, if there are times in your ministry where you do not see yourself as a hypocritical liar, run for help because you are not seeing yourself clearly. Oh, the pastor needs great grace to walk with the Lord. For your soul and the souls of God's people are in our hands. It is with fear and trembling that we come before God and before these people. I'll close with this thought, and that is, Craig, when you fly on an airplane, they go through a number of instructions. In fact, the very first time I got in an airplane, if I would have known they were going to tell me everything they told me, I don't think I would have flown. Because if I would have gotten in someone's car and they'd have said, okay, the seat you're sitting in is also a flotation device. They've kind of gone through the routine. It would have scared me to death. And then they do the clincher. if the cabin pressure changes, oxygen mask will drop from the ceiling calmly. As if you're going to do anything calmly as the plane is heading downward. Calmly place the mask over your face and breathe normally. And there is a little one next to you. Place your mask on first before placing on them. And brother, I can tell you one thing as a fellow pastor. You must place the oxygen of God's kingdom on your face every day before you run around trying to help other people. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, you are our only hope. Oh, God, you know what a failure we are. Oh, God, you know our sin. Father, I confess to you, what a sinner, what a confused person I can be sometimes. And, oh, God, I pray for myself, for my brothers and sisters, and for Craig and Lakina. Oh, God, would you do your work in us? Would you do your work through us? And would you do your work in spite of us? You are a great God. You have been using your people for thousands of years, and you will. Oh, God, thank you. Forgive us and carry us, for you are our only hope. And we pray in the only trustworthy name we know, in heaven and in earth, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul?
Amen. Thanks, Tim. When that dentist looked at Tim and said he'd never seen anything like that before, I thought he was going to recommend a head transplant. From this moment, you are attending a meeting of North Texas Presbytery. For the Presbytery has appointed the commission whose names that you find in your bulletin to ordain these two men, Craig Cowley at this service and John McCracken at the 11 o'clock service. Now, the Presbytery has overseen the growth, the development of these men as they both have come under care of Presbytery and been guided by their brothers, their elders in the Lord as they have pursued the gospel ministry. Both men have graduated from seminary. Craig from Dallas Theological Seminary. He has been under care of this session and under care of North Texas Presbytery. He has completed his full PCA internship. That is the internship that's required by the PCA before ordination. And he has been thoroughly examined by the Presbytery in theology and church government and sacraments and church history, his Christian experience, the English Bible, PCA history. He has submitted papers, he has preached a sermon, and he has given, has presented documents indicating that he is able indeed to use the original languages in his study and presentation of the Word of God. And he now, having been examined and received by Presbytery, has been given to us the wonderful privilege of participating in their ordination. And Craig Cowley is here this morning. Craig, if you would, come forward and stand right down there. Let me introduce Craig's lovely wife, Lakina, who is here. Lakina, if you would stand. And Craig's parents, Mr. and Ms. Cowley, if you would stand. Great to have you all here today. If you would like to follow the ordination questions, you'll find them printed in your bulletin. Craig, do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as originally given to be the inerrant Word of God? the only infallible rule of faith and practice, do you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the confession of faith and the catechisms of this church as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures? And do you further promise that if at any time you find yourself out of accord with any of the fundamentals of this system of doctrine, that you will, on your own initiative, make known to your presbytery the change which has taken place in your views since the assumption of this ordination vow, do you?
I do.
Do you approve of the form of government and discipline of the Presbyterian Church in America in conformity with the general principles of biblical polity, do you?
I do.
Do you promise subjection to your brethren in the Lord, do you?
I do.
Have you been induced, as far as you know your own heart, to seek the office of the holy ministry from love to God and a sincere desire to promote his glory in the gospel of his Son? Have you?
I have.
Do you promise to be zealous and faithful in maintaining the truths of the gospel and the purity and peace of the church, whatever persecution or opposition may arise unto you on that account? Do you? Do you engage to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all your duties as a Christian and a minister of the gospel, whether personal or relational, private or public, and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your manner of life and to walk with exemplary piety before the flock of which God shall make you overseer? Do you?
I do.
Now these questions to the congregation. You have heard the affirmations of the candidate. And these questions are given to all of those who are members of PCPC. And if you answer in the affirmative, signify so by raising your right hand at each question. Do you, the people of this congregation, continue to profess your readiness to receive Craig Calley? Do you? Do you promise to receive the word of truth from his mouth with meekness and love? Do you? Do you promise to encourage him in his labors and to assist his endeavors for your instruction and spiritual edification? Do you? And do you engage to continue to him while he is your pastor that competent worldly maintenance which you have promised and to furnish him with whatever you may see needful for the honor of religion and for his comfort among you? Do you? I'm going to ask the candidate to kneel. The members of the commission will come forward and lay hands. As Tim reminded us from the scriptures this morning, and this is the laying on of hands of presbytery or of the elders. The members of the commission and any other teaching elders in North Texas Presbytery are invited to come forward and to lay hands on this candidate. Ruling Elder John Vanderveld will lead us in prayer from the pulpit.
Holy God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come before you and worship and praise. We give you thanks that from the beginning you have gathered and prepared your people to be heirs of the covenant of Abraham. You have raised up ministers and leaders for your church. We praise you also that from the creation you have graciously accepted the ministry of those you have chosen, gifted, and called to be elected as servants and pastors of your church. Now we pray that you will now pour out upon this your servant, our friend and brother, Craig Cowley, the power of your Holy Spirit, who was given without measure to your beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and by whom your church is built up in every place to the glory and unceasing praise of your name. Father, we pray that you would fill the heart of Craig Cowley to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Grant him the spiritual gifts that he will need. Fill him with such love of you and of all the people that he may feed and tend the flock of Christ. Grant him the spiritual gifts and abilities to lead guide, and counsel with those in his charge, to lead them when they are struggling, and to exercise without reproach the high calling with which he has been called, serving before you fully in the ministry of reconciliation. Grant him faithfulness as a teacher and preacher of the word, and as a presbyter of the church. Bless his wife, Lakina, that she might serve alongside him as his companion and encourager. Fill her also to overflowing with your Holy Spirit and with the spiritual gifts that she might need to complement his ministry wherever he might be called to serve. In all things throughout his life, lead and guide him that he may present before you the acceptable offering of a pure, gentle, and holy life through Jesus Christ, your Son, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and power and glory now and forever. Amen.
Amen. You may rise. I give you the right hand of fellowship to take part with us in this ministry. God bless you. And as the other brother is giving the right hand of fellowship to Craig, that he might take part in this ministry with us, I now pronounce and declare that Craig Cowley has been regularly elected, ordained, and installed as an assistant pastor of this congregation, agreeable to the Word of God and according to the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church in America, and that as such he is entitled to all support, encouragement, honor, and obedience in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Craig will receive a charge from ruling elder Russell Johnson.
My charge is to the congregation and to the session. As we've already heard this morning, much of what we know about the intended relationship between Christ's church and the pastors is found in Paul's letters to Timothy. In his second letter, Paul reminded us, as well as Timothy, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so, I charge you, the congregation of Park City's Presbyterian Church and the session, to be students of the Word and to be eager to learn from Craig, who's been called to this glorious work. I charge you to encourage him in his teaching and his preaching and his continuing study of God's revelation. Paul said to Timothy, "Let no one despise your youth." We've heard that. "But be an example in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." And so I charge you, the congregation and the session, that you would hold him up and honor him for his commitment to God's calling, that you would not ever discount him for his youth. Paul told Timothy not to rebuke an older man, but rather to exhort him as a father, an older woman as a mother, a younger man as a brother, and a younger woman as a sister, and all with purity. So I charge you, each as the title fits, to relate to Craig like fathers or mothers or brothers or sisters. For we truly are all members of one great family. And in this way, we will truly relate to him with love and with gentleness. Finally, Paul exhorted Timothy to pray for and always give thanks for and to intercede before the Father on behalf of all men who are in authority. So I charge you to pray continuously for Craig, giving thanks to our Father for him and his ministry, and that you would intercede on his behalf before the Father, that his ministry would profit and his labors would give great glory to the Lord, that he would live a godly and reverent life, and that God would use him mightily for his kingdom's sake, so that through Craig, many, many would know the one true God. Amen.
The session is called Craig to serve as an assistant pastor in the area of pastoral care. But Craig also looks forward, and we do too, with great eagerness, though we would hate to see him leave. But he looks forward to serving as a chaplain in the Air Force in the not too distant future. He's already spent 10 years in the Air Force. 3 of those years were as a chaplain's assistant or candidate, chaplain candidate. And Lord willing, before too long, he will become a chaplain on active duty in the Air Force. So continue to pray for him. Let's do so now. Let's pray. Father, how we thank thee for this dear brother whom thou hast raised up to serve thee even as he serves thy church. We thank thee for Lakina. We thank thee for his parents. We thank thee for all that thou hast done in him and with him and for him in the past. And Father, we would thank thee, not with presumption, but out of faith for what thou would do through him in the future. We pray that thou wouldst indeed lay thy hand upon him and use him mightily to the winning of many precious souls and to the building up of those souls in the faith once delivered to the saints. Bless him, his wife and son, his family, and we pray that thou wouldst bless us all together as we seek to serve thee here. For we make our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.